hand of Jesus touched me. This blessed Savior, and since he's cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to
your Bible, I'd love to read with us the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. Appreciate your presence. I ask you to pray for us here for a little while. I want to begin reading down in verses number 7. Acts chapter number 15, verses number 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel," and he didn't stop there, "and believe." God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words. I pray you help us physically, help us spiritually, God. Lead us now and have your way. Touch hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Peter, whenever this, you got to understand, God a little while back said, "Peter, here's the people that I want you to go to." Now, these folks over here, we would look at them and we would call them heathens. And they're unbelievers. They don't have a knowledge of God. They don't like to retain God in their thoughts at all. Them's the folks I want you to go see. And whenever you go there, I want you to preach to unto them the gospel. Now, there's a lot of truth in when someone is presented the gospel. He's not given fairy tales. He's not given a pill that you take and it's do good or better. You're given a choice whether you want to go to heaven or to hell. Now, you don't have to turn, but I want you to listen. God made a choice among us. Now, that was meaning all the disciples, and can I say it this way? All the disciples, if we put them all in a circle, God knew which one to pick out to send to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. God knows every one of our hearts. And by knowing our hearts, He knows that if we could have a love for somebody else, because the gospel has to be delivered by the feelings that God puts within you, leadership of the Holy Spirit, but puts it within you to deliver that message to folks that really won't want to hear you. Okay? But you got to understand, you almost have to love the heathen. You almost have to love the sinner. Isn't that what God says? God loves sinners. And when God puts or sends us out to that, then there's a whole different avenue to understand. In the book of Genesis, and you don't have to turn, but just listen to me. In the book of Genesis, when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, He made Adam. Adam was individual, one person upon the whole face of the earth. And God made a choice. God made a choice to love Adam. He made a choice. We read it in John 3:16, where God so loved the world. But God made a choice to love Adam. And it was easy for God to keep up with Adam. One person, one God, easy done. Then all of a sudden, God saw Adam needed a helpmate. Eve comes on the picture. Now there's two. Easy for God to take care of two. Ain't that right? Can't we kind of take care of one another? That's pretty easy, right? They had children. Bible tells them, now there was a lot of things happened in between. God showed them something, the fallen man, and they got kicked out of the garden, but they had children. It was very easy for God to take care of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. God made a choice. God made a choice to watch over them. God makes a choice, and He tells us that He watches over and takes care of us. A friend of mine, even the sleep, and I refer to it a lot, but I like it, even the sleep of a righteous man is sweet. Why is it possible, and how is it possible that God can take care of so many? But God can. But here's Cain and Abel. Cain decides to kill Abel, his brother. Abel offered unto God a sacrifice, and he brought the firstborn, the flock, and he shed that blood and he offered that, and God was acceptable unto that sacrifice that Abel did bring. But the Bible tells us that Cain was a tiller of the ground, and he brought the best that he raised in the crop, but God was not pleased with what he had offered. And Cain's His wrath or his became exceeding. He didn't like what God had done in not accepting his offering, but unto his brother, he accepted his offering. God made a choice that the only thing that would be accepted would be that blood being shed. You see, in God's big picture, God, as we describe it, God's big picture, the only thing that allowed Adam and Eve to receive forgiveness from God, well, guess what? There was animal skins that they were clothed by, which meant there was blood shed by an animal. So blood was the way that God had planned throughout the ages. And we all know that that's kind of simple. But as that blood would flow down through the ages leading up to Calvary's cross, God made that choice. And God instilled in man that the only way you'll receive forgiveness from God is through the blood. That's the only way. Now, if God tells you there's only one way, there's only one way. He doesn't give you options. Now, if Cain being the tiller of the ground, and Cain slew his brother Abel, as well as God makes choices, man's are on the receiving side of God's choices. In other words, you may think we have free will, and we do. We make the choice to serve God or make the choice to serve the devil. But God says, here is my plan. Here is the way of salvation. Here is the way that if you want to be saved, this is how you'll be saved. You don't get an option to go to God's heaven without coming God's way. You don't have an option. We can't play God's game unless we play by God's rules. You are not forced to live for God. You're not forced to go to heaven. You are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and that is it. There's no other way. Now, you can choose to live like the world. This morning on our way to church, pulled out on the road, we had to wait on a few cars to get by before we'd get in the lane. The first car was a big old man. It was a big, nice motorhome pulling a kind of a dune buggy type thing. Another motorhome following. Another vehicle pulling another kind of dune buggy type thing. And the fourth car was a working truck with a trailer. And I'm thinking, man, them folks is all recreationed out, working out. They got all the time in the world to do those things right there. They do their recreations. They do their work. As we say, they cut their grass on Sunday. They go play their golf on Sunday. They do everything. You can choose all of those things that you want to do. And God makes a choice, and so do you. You choose. Most of the time, we don't think a thing in the world about it. Go through our life doing all of our things, we just all of a sudden become like the kings of the world. We're a tiller of the ground. We make our choice. And that's exactly the choice that Cain chose, was to till the ground. A little bit that I know about raising crops, very little that I know. But I do know if you were in that very fresh dirt, I bet it was pretty easy raising crops that hadn't been just year after year after year. And them thorns and thistles hadn't really got that strong like they are today. Well, you know what I'm talking about. So it was easy if you love something and you put your heart into it and you do everything in your power to be a tiller of the ground, it would be very easy to live in this world just like we have today. There's people today, you know, the only thing that drives them is money, just like the rich young ruler. There's a lot of folks in this world that all they're after is what they can gain, how much land they got, how much prosperity they got. And you know what? If that's your choice, live with it. Here's what God said. Cain slew Abel. Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass that while they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? We all know it. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now, this is old stuff, but just listen. The ground is the earth. The blood was spilled on that ground by cause of what Cain had done to his brother. And that blood shed right into that ground. And the Bible said, and now art thou cursed from the earth. What happened was, Cain loved the dirt. He was a dirt man. He could work in that ground, and in his own mind, he believed the fruit of his labor was the goods that he was raised. Now, if you're any kind of farmer at all, you'll know one thing for sure. You might be able to plant the seeds in the ground. You might be able to cover it up and water it. But friend of mine, if God doesn't give the increase, there is no increase. You may think you do it. You may think that the fruit of your labor and what you do, I've got where I'm at today, preacher, because of hard work. You may think that. But God has made a choice. And sometimes he lets it rain, remember, on the just and on the unjust. And that rain upon the unjust is exactly what was happening to Cain. His life was blessed, he thought, by his own works. Whenever he shed his brother's blood and that blood flowed into the ground, you know what God touched? The best thing going in his life. Now, I got news for you. I want to give you a little warning. If you put something between you and God, it's easy for God to remove it. It's easy if you put your prosperity, if you put the dollars you got on your back, if you think your job is the best thing in the world, you better make sure you put God in the right spot, because if you don't, God could remove it. And you know what God did to Cain? Cursed the earth. From Cain. Everybody else could grow a crop, but not Cain. God made a choice. God took the best thing in his life. Oh, be careful. You're playing with fire when you put something in front of God. If you put your husband, your wife, your children, your house, your car, your dog, your cat, if you put something in front between you and God, you better be careful. God can remove it. This happened. And when he said this, and Cain, he said unto thee, and thou art cursed from the earth from which thou hast opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, you're going to steal world and work the ground. It shall not henceforth yield unto her strength. Many of us say, well, boy, that was a bad thing. You don't know how bad it is until you're on the receiving side of the wrath of God. Amen. It's easy for me to say, whoa, man, it's hot outside while I'm inside an air conditioning. It's easy. Whoa, it's hot. But friend of mine, if I'm on the other side and I don't have air conditioning and I'm in a building with no air conditioning and I'm hot inside and I go outside and it's hot, then I understand it a little better. You don't understand Cain's problems until you understand the choice that you made to kill your brother and allow this to happen. You brought it on yourself. But God made a choice that he would not back up on. He wouldn't change his mind. He said, there's the curse. There's the problem. And you, my friend, are going to be the recipient. You're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond all of your days. And Cain says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's simple. You know, there's people that's going to be in hell that are going to say, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And there won't be any relief. That's exactly what the rich man had to say in Lazarus' story. Just give me one drop of water that my cold, that my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. There is no such thing as all of a sudden God changing his rules. God made a choice. God made a choice, and Cain lived it. What was most important in his life, he had a choice. Well, I'll come back, but maybe later. A little bit later on in the Bible, children of Israel going into the promised land. They head up to Jericho. They were having problems, as we might call it, but they really wasn't having problems. God was delaying things and God was doing things. And God sent two spies into the city before the whole village was going to be destroyed. Sent him two spies. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by luck. It wasn't by, oh, flip a coin, see how it works. God sent them to a harlot's house. Why in the world did he go to a place like that and Rahab the harlot? Why in the world? Couldn't there have been a better situation? You see, I believe if God watches over Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, he even watches over people like
Rahab the harlot. Now, wait a minute. She wasn't one of God's children. She was true blue heathen. True blue. Apostle Peter said, it's been a little while back. God made a choice to send the gospel to the Gentiles, which means for years, God has made choices to send the gospel to folks that didn't measure up to the same level as good folks. Good folks. Don't you think yourself, whenever you come to church today and you leave from church today and you go on home on this afternoon, you say, well, what did you do on Sunday? You didn't say, well, I played golf, I washed my car, I cut my grass. You know what you can say? Well, I went to church on Sunday. You know the biggest difference is when you do things that you want to do, that's your choice. But when you do things God wants you to do, you're going to be blessed about it, not caring what the world has to say. Rahab the harlot had heard about God's folks before God's folks ever got there. How? How in the world? You see, when God made that choice, somehow or another, that word hit her ears that she'd heard about God's folks. I got to fast forward quickly. We know that when those spies came into her house, she done all the things. The spies told her, for doing what you've done, God's going to bless you. And here's how God's going to bless you. You let down this scarlet thread out that window, and you stay in this house. Now here's the kicker. If you have anybody that wants to be saved, you bring them in the house. Now, watch this. Watch this. See, God makes a choice to believe a story of the gospel in our present day. We as Christians are almost labeled fanatics. We, on our own hands, believe in a God that loves us and watches over me and protects me every single day. And I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm as sure for heaven if I was already there. But friend, I believe that. What happens here is when Rahab the harlot gets word of a God that leads his people, she wants what they've got. And she shares the message with her family for them to come into the house. God's protective hand was going to be on Rahab and everybody else in the house. You know what Rahab loved most? It wasn't the city of Jericho. It wasn't her reputation and her job. Friend, she was going to lose her livelihood in one split second right there when God come. It wasn't this, that, or the other. You know what meant something to her? And you know what she asked and told? Her family meant something to her, and her family was the ones that she invited to come into her house, and her family was saved because of the results of what she did. And trust in God. Now you tell me, when God makes a choice, you can put things in the middle that'll hinder you from God, or you can get things out of the way and invite others to come in. And that's what Rahab did. Cain chose a different direction. God laid the law down. Rahab, if she'd have stepped outside the door, would have been on the wrathful side of God. You don't get to pick and choose partial following God. You don't get to pick and choose what's best for you. God lays down the law, and God lays it down, and there is no deviating from that. I can't get anybody saved. I can't bring anybody with me. All I can do is point you and say, look, if you want to be saved, this is how you do it. This is how. What happens here is when the Apostle Peter said,
God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth shall hear the word of the gospel and believe. The believing was the key, because you can preach to a lost and dying world, but believing is the key. I've used it many times before. I was blessed in the military. On Sunday, we didn't have a chaplain, and so on Sunday they would let me do it from pretty regular, and I was blessed with that privilege. But that privilege introduced me to all kinds of folks of different things. I didn't waste any time. I presented a gospel message every single time, and I didn't have to get on any kind of religion, because, friend of mine, the gospel message is not about Baptists. I made the choice to deliver the message. I made the choice to do what I could, but I could not get anybody that listened to that message, even though it was outside a church environment. It was a main thing for me was to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. It's up to you to receive it. Now listen to this. If you want to believe, you have to understand with Cain's example, God did not punish him forever. There was the law. There was that line. But friend, Cain could have repented. Cain could have repented. It was up to us to hold God, accountable. Now, God holds me accountable. God holds me accountable. But also, I get to hold God accountable. How? God will not go against His word. If you're given the invitation by God to repent of your sins, God is obligated through the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins if you ask Him. He is obligated. God has a standard and won't go beyond it. Cain could have asked God for forgiveness. How in the world did the others get on board? They got on board by asking God. If you want to get on board, you've got to ask God for forgiveness. And whenever the gospel was presented to the Gentiles and the Apostle Peter, he preached unto them, they had to receive a gospel that wasn't intended for them. That wasn't spoken to them. The promises was to somebody else. But friend of mine, through the blood of Jesus, you can get grafted into God's family for things that, friend, we had no dealings with. But whenever I got saved, I become a member of God's family. Right then, Johnny on the spot. Just like if I was in the room with Rahab's harlot and her family. Just because I was in the room believing God and trusting God, I'm secure and I'm safe as if I was already in heaven. Now you tell me. You tell me what's better. The Apostle Peter was given that freedom. I wish I got to. You got to give me one more minute. Listen. This is too good. I won't read them all. Verse 11. But we believe. Now he wasn't just talking to the disciples. He's talking about believers. He's talking about believers. Now he wasn't talking about them Gentiles, because he'd been letting go. He'd been given that privilege. But watch this. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Watch this. Even as they. Little old bitty words. But them little old bitty words included me. It included you, because I'm not a Jew. I wasn't born a Jew. The promise was not for me. But because God laid the standard and God made a choice to send Jesus Christ to be able to die for the sins, not of just the Jews, but for the whole world. And because He died for the whole world, guess what? I got saved. I got saved. Because, friend, the grace of our Lord, God's grace, that's clear. That is clear as mud, as we should say. Friend of mine, when you know the grace of, it's only made possible for the by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died in my stead. Or otherwise, I'd have died just like Cain as a fugitive and a vagabond. I'd have died just like that. The rich man in hell, whenever he died, he opened up his eyes. And you know what he opened up his eyes to? Forever in that spot. In hell. Never to get out. You got breath. You got hope right now. But don't toy with that, because God's standard is pretty straight. You don't get to say, well, let me get an exception. There is no exception. You either get saved before you die, because when you die, it's too late. Got enough verses to back it up. But you know what you can do? You can be saved today. And that's important. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Gordon. I appreciate you so much for being here with us. But I appreciate God for helping us to see that there is no other way that we can be saved other than God looking our direction. And God looked at our direction, and He saw us, and He sent Jesus to die on Calvary's cross that we might be saved. If you're here today and you're lost without God, you can be saved. Let's stand to our feet and sing a verse of a song. If God's speaking to you, you come.